I invite you to turn to your Bible to Proverbs verse 23. We'll be reading chapter 23, verses, and we'll be reading verses 22 through 25. Proverbs chapter 23. Listen to your father who begot you. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. This is Proverbs 23, verses 22 through 25.
First of all, I want to begin by wishing all of our fathers a very happy Father's Day. I know that we have visitors in the audience today that are here visiting with their parents, and we are so glad that you are here. It is my wish that you will have a wonderful day with your family and that you will enjoy every moment that you have together. I know that part of my family is not here today. Philip is actually speaking over at Beatty Road this morning. So I only have Mandy with us this morning, but I want you to know, because I'm very, very proud of this and very happy about this, I got to spend the entire weekend with my three children and my wife. We had a wonderful weekend trip and spent a lot of good times together, and I appreciate that Father's Day gift so much. And I know that all of you fathers here appreciate so much your children and what they do for you and the love that you have for them. So we do wish all of our fathers a wonderful, wonderful day. You know, being a father is a wonderful experience. I didn't know that until I had my first child. And then, you know, I found out as they grew, it became a challenging experience. It is an awesome responsibility to be a parent, whether you're a father or a mother. And, you know, most of the things that I say today will be for our mothers as well as for our fathers. But being the fact that this is Father's Day, I want to talk a little about being a father. You know, to be the father of a child that is righteous, that has come to the Lord, it brings great rejoicing and great joy to their heart. You know, this is one of the things that Solomon was bringing out in the reading that we just read from Proverbs 23 about bringing up your children in the correct way. It is such a wonderful blessing, not only for the parents, but for the children as well. You know, the Apostle Paul, he tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." This is God's way. He is telling us as fathers to nurture our children, to teach our children the truth of God's word. I don't have to tell you this, but the influence of a father reaches through time and goes all the way into eternity. And being a good father is not always an easy task. It requires a large number of skills, and it requires a lot of virtue as well. You know, the best advice a father can get in raising his children comes from God's Word. So today I would like to offer to you some biblical principles for fathers. And God tells us how to be a good father. He tells us in general how to be a good parent. And like I said, the things that I say for our fathers today can easily just as well be for our mothers as well. First of all, we find out that a good father leads his children. Now, Abraham was a great example of one who led his children well. We read in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. I don't remember doing all this. "For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord and do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what has been spoken of him. Now, Abraham could be trusted by God as a good father. And he trusted Abraham to be a good father even before he became a father. God knew that early training was very important. And God knew that this man, Abraham, would provide very well as an example for his children. Abraham would be the father that would instruct his children in the way of the Lord. He would instruct his children to live a just life. He would instruct his children to lead a righteous life. And he was a wonderful example of this. Now, I want to tell you that today we as fathers must do the very same thing that Abraham has done in life. First of all, we need to be Christians before we can teach our children to be a Christian. We need to live that dedicated life. We need to be an example for our children to follow in life. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." You see, Paul followed Christ as close as he could in life. And he said, you need to look at me. Look at how I follow the word of the Lord, and you need to follow and follow my example in following the word of the Lord. Fathers must teach and train their children from an early age. Start from the very beginning, telling them about God and about God's way, about Christ and about the church. Teach them and show them a love for God and for God's word, that they need to allow God's word to be their guide. You know, one of the best examples that's found in Scripture comes from Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning with verse 18. This is a powerful scripture that bears out the fact that we need to teach Christianity to our children. "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth." This is how important God's word is to us. Now, we also need, fathers, to set a positive example before our children. You know, Ezekiel reminds us of this in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 2. Ezekiel says, "What do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edge?" Well, you read this passage of Scripture and you say, what in the world is he talking about? Well, the actual message of this passage comes from Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. It is a proverb that describes the consequences of sin upon the part of the father. It also says that when the father commits these consequences, that it is visited upon the children that belong to him. Listen to this. "You shall not make of yourself or yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." Do you know what this is saying? When the fathers live a life of sin, it brings poverty. It brings disgrace. It brings disease to the children. They will be affected by the sins of the father. You know, when a thief is sent to prison, his children is left without bread. They do not eat. They are not taken care of because the one who is taking care of them has now been taken away. Now, this is not to punish the children for the sins of the father, but sometimes they suffer and they have heartaches because of the sins of the father. And unfortunately, many times we find that in situations like this, the children will many times mimic the sins of their father. We all know these stories. Someone who was abused as a child, they grow up to be a child abuser themselves. We've seen this happen time and time again. The children learn from their father how he was and do the very same thing. I know there's a story of a lady that, of course, they're passed now, was a neighbor of ours, heavy, heavy smoker. She would just go one cigarette after the other, all go through 3-4 packs a day maybe. And when her son became a teenager, he began to smoke as well. And the first time that the mother saw her son smoke, she stood there and cried like a baby. Why is my son doing this? Why has he picked up this bad habit? Well, they lived next door to us and my grandmother. And my grandmother was one of those people who didn't mind telling you exactly what she thought. And when this lady started to be so upset because her son started smoking, my grandmother said, "Well, what did you expect? I mean, you suck them down like they were candy. 3-4 packs a day. You panic when you run out. You race to the store to get more. What did you expect him to do? He saw you do it. He saw your example. So what did you expect?" So we have to be careful the example that we set for our children. Because I'm going to tell you, your kids will act like you. I've seen it happen too many times. My wife reminds me a lot of how much I act like my daddy. And I see that a lot in Philip, bless his heart. Be careful the things that you do in front of your children, because they will follow your lead. But you know, a good father will bring good things to the life of his children. For example, listen to these statistics. As early as 5 months of age, children who have fathers to take a part in caring for them, they are less frightened. They are more cognitively advanced in their learning ability. They have better sensory motor skills because their father is a part of their life. Children, both boys and girls who have fathers in the home, they score higher on their achievement test. They score higher on their IQ test. And they generally have a higher grade point average in school if their fathers involve themselves in their lives. Girls whose fathers spend quality time maybe reading to them will have advanced verbal abilities in life. Children whose fathers stay involved in their lives through their adolescence tend to be more emotionally secure in life, and they're more cognitively developed than those whose fathers do not. This is how important it is, Dad, that you be sure that you are a part of your children's lives. Now, I want you to listen to the flip side of these statistics. It has been observed that children who grew up in homes without the presence of a father are far more likely to display emotional and behavioral problems than other children. They are far more likely to have difficulty getting along with other people. They are more likely to be expelled or suspended from school, and more likely to be in trouble with the police because they do not have that father figure to move them in the right direction. Now, this is the very reason that the Apostle Paul tells us, get involved in the lives of your children. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Get involved in their lives. This means teaching them. This means helping them. This means loving them. And it will have a tremendous effect on your children's lives. Fathers are more than an option. They are essential for the mental and emotional development of their children. Another thing the father does is they provide for their children. Let me read to you something the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Do you know what this is saying? Paul is saying that it is worse than an unbeliever for one not to provide for his own family. A good father will provide for the physical needs of his family and will take care of his family. And not only that, a good father will also educate his children. Now let's go back to Ephesians 6 and verse 4 again. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training or the nurture, as King James says, and admonition of the Lord. It is so important that we get these children on the right road and keep them there. You know, there are actually two words for in the Greek that makes this so important for us to understand. The Greek word for nurture is paideia. And this word simply means to educate by discipline. Now, how do you educate by discipline? Simple. When they start doing the wrong thing, you stop them. When they start going down the wrong path, you turn them around. You're the parent. Be a parent. Don't be afraid to correct your children when they make mistakes, because they're going to make mistakes. You made mistakes. You still make mistakes. Help them with the mistakes that they make. The other word that's used here is the Greek word nuthesia. Now, nuthesia simply means to give them admonishment. In other words, to educate them by instruction. Teach them how to live. So, fathers, we need to be involved in teaching and disciplining our children. Now, let me say this. The greatest way to do that is through example. You know, this idea of do as I say, not as I do, has anybody ever been told that before? That's hogwash. That's for the birds. Somebody tells me to do something and do right the opposite, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to follow what I see. You follow what you see far more than you follow what you hear. My friends, listen. If you want your children to go down the right road, you go down the right road. If you don't want your kids doing certain things because it could cause them problems, you stay away from those same certain things. And if you see them following after things that you have already done, tell them they're wrong in what they're doing. Tell them that you are wrong when you did it. Admit to them that you made mistakes. They already know you make mistakes. They already know you're not perfect. But correct what they do, even if they're starting to do some of the same things that you did. Let them know this is not God's way. Teach them that better way. And this is especially true from a spiritual standpoint. The most important way for your child to hear about God is to hear it from you. Read the Bible to them. Attend church services with them. Don't just send them to church. You'd be amazed how many parents use the church as a babysitter because it gives them a little time to be away from their kids. Isn't that sad? I can't think of a time that I've ever wanted to be away from my kids. And I'm away from my kids now more than ever. And I don't like it. I know they know it. I like to be with them. Don't send them away. Now, I've got one other thing that I want to say about providing for your children and educating your children. And this is to the children. This is to the young folks. Kids, don't ask more of your parents than what they are able to deliver. Now, I want to tell you, when I was growing up, I was well taken care of as a child. Until the day that my wife and I said, I do, I was taken care of by my parents. And I knew it. And there were so many times when I was growing up, I didn't want to admit that. Because they did a lot of things that I didn't like, and they wouldn't do a lot of things that I wanted done. But I knew that I was well taken care of. Back then, and this would have been back in the 60s and the 70s, Nike brand of shoes, y'all know Nike? Nike was just coming on the scene. Boy, let me tell you, you were somebody if you had a pair of Nike shoes. Shortly after that, other popular brands came out. Converse, Skechers, Adidas, New Balance. All those really high, expensive brand shoes. When I was growing up, my shoes came from Kmart. $4.97. You could get them black. You could get them in white. You could get them in red. You could get them in blue. The red was bright, and the blue was ugly. And that's what I wore to school. And I'd walk into that classroom with my big bright red shoes on. And everybody, some of them kids would have their Nikes and their Converse and their Skechers on. But I want you to know that I got out on that gym floor with my Kmart shoes and they creaked just like them big fancy shoes did. And they would slide and they gripped that floor just like them expensive ones did. I usually wore homemade clothes because my mother was a seamstress. What clothes I didn't wear homemade, we bought at Sears or we bought at Kmart. Was no Walmart back in those days. This is my point, kids. Your parents have a lot to deal with in life. Their main purpose is to give you the things that you need. Not to set you up in society. Believe me, the issues of life overwhelms them a lot more than issues of life have ever overwhelmed you. So if they can't buy you a pair of Nike shoes, and if they can't put you in some fine name brand clothes to wear, and if they can't buy you the fine automobile to drive, or do something else that is unbelievably expensive, that doesn't mean that they're trying to hold you back. It doesn't mean that they don't love you enough to give you good things. What it means is that as parents, as good as they are, they have their limitations. They can only do so much. And you need to respect that. And one other thing. Sometimes what you want is not what you need. You know, the Bible is filled with parents who have failed. The Israelite judge and priest Eli could not control his children. His sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were also priests, they were corrupt. They despised the worship of the Lord. Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, they disobeyed God's law of using unauthorized fire before the Lord. And they were destroyed by the Lord's fire as a result. Even King David, the man after God's own heart, was a poor father. One son, Absalom, rebelled against him, and many of his other children gave him much grief. No father is perfect. Just ask my two kids. But a father has a tremendous opportunity to help bring his children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And no, it will not always be easy, but it's the right thing to do, and it will bring remarkable results. May we honor our fathers. May we honor them for giving themselves to their children and preparing them for the task of living to the glory of God. I want to close by reading a poem that I found. It's called Father, Just Like You. This is a poem about a father and his son. Daughters, it could very well be you. Little eyes upon you, and they are watching day, night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do. And a little boy who's dreaming of the day that he'll be like you. You're a little fella's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devoutly, holds that all you say and do. He will say and do in your way what he's grown up to be like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right. His ears are always open and he watches day and night. You are setting an example every day in all you do, for this little boy is waiting to grow up and be just like you. Father, the greatest thing that you could ever do for your child is to be a Christian. A Christian father will hold in the palm of his hand the tools to help you be a Christian as well. Give your life to the Lord today. And if you are a Christian, father or mother or anyone, and your life is not what it should be, change your life. Repent of those things. And put God number one in your life. We honor our fathers today. Our Heavenly Father should have the greatest honor of all. To love and to cherish as our God and our Savior. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we stand and sing this song.